Steadfast in the Faith is the title. This is a lesson that I had in my bank of lessons, and it was one that we've talked about before, and I have taught this lesson a few times, but it's very important that we keep this in our mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and 13. We'll be looking also, and we'll read this scripture, look at it, and we're going to talk about in detail a little bit about the faith that he's talking about. And then we're going to bump up to chapter 15, and we're going to look there. The faith. 1 Corinthians 16 and 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Let's break these words down a little bit to start with. Watch ye. You know, when you think about that watch ye, it's to be awake. I can remember when my son played little bitty baseball, you know, I guess little league or whatever, and they were out in the outfield and they were more interested in playing with the red ants and things like that, you know. It's just so much fun to watch. A good age. And you'd say, stay awake now, because sometimes there may be a ball hit towards you. You don't want to get hurt. So especially if you're on third base, you'll get some screamers down third base. But you just got to be awake. And that's kind of the way it is in life. You don't know when those things will come at you sometimes. It may be just really unaware. And I think that's what these words are teaching here. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Stand fast, unmovable. You know, you take a big old guard on the line, it's hard to move them, right? And that's what Paul is saying, don't move. Be grounded, be standing there in fast in the faith. Quit you like men. That's kind of strange words. I like the New King James a little better. And ESV says to act like men. I believe New King James is to be brave, have courage. Here, quit you like men. It's saying act like men. Now, I think Paul talking to the Corinthians, certainly women and men together, I think he's using a universal as men. He's not singling out ladies or anything here. He's saying be strong. He's taking a masculine, a universal sense here of saying in the faith to be strong in this. So we say the faith, when we think about that, it's a little bit different, I think, in the way we normally look at the faith. When you're reading about this and studying here, it's a faith used, we know it start with in more than one sense when we look at faith in the Bible. And faith is used to refer to the act of believing. Sometimes we'll say, well, you know, we just need to believe, really believe and have faith in that, in what we read. And that is true. But the faith, what we're looking at is kind of a past tense here in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. The faith refers to that which is believed. A past tense. The exhortation to stand fast in the faith indicates that the faith is a specific body of truth. And Paul wants the Corinthians to be firm in that. Quit you like men. To take a stand. To be strong, unmovable. In what? And you think about this, and it's the same for us today. Nothing has changed. We need to be standing fast in the gospel, the New Testament. You know, when Christ died, that New Testament went into effect. But it's past, right? The past tense, he died. And now that's put into effect. The gospel of Christ, the doctrine of Christ, or the teaching of Christ. Nothing has changed for us, just like it has for them. We need to contend for it. Why did Paul, in his last remarks in 16 there, talking about his writings, give admonition to the Corinthian brethren? If you have a Bible, we'll go through some reading about half that chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to look at some readings here. You know, when I first kind of started looking at this chapter, is I kind of took it that he was teaching the gospel for the first time. When you start reading it, it really kind of has that idea. But it's not. He's talking this gospel to Corinthians here that have already heard it, and there's some errors in their ways with it. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. I think that's an important verse that we need to look at and really think about. And think about according to the Scriptures. It's written. And Paul knows this. It's been written. And this is what we're saved in. And we are still able to look at these scriptures and know that it was written, and we have our faith in this faith also. And fourth verse. Now Paul starts going right through exactly about the gospel, how it works in verse 4. and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now, if Christ be preached, then that he arose from the dead, and here's where we see the error, brethren. Now, these are people that have heard the gospel, have accepted Christ, and there are some among them who are having an error. And if Christ be not risen, excuse me, I'm getting ahead of myself. Verse 12, now if Christ be preached that he arose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? So there's error there, isn't there? There's people who are coming up and saying, how does this work? How can anyone be? And I don't think they're talking just Christ. They're saying, how can you be raised from the dead? The core belief of the gospel, that God has the power to raise those that are dead and raise them up. And for us on judgment day, it's going to be the same for you, that you will be raised up. Why? Because it's according to the scriptures. And we have faith in the faith, don't we? So we can see, even though it's a past tense, that we believe that this is true, that this is right. We're going to move on here now, and we see what the error was and why Paul is talking to these brethren to take care of that. There was an error of the gospel that Paul had already taught them. Before Paul reproves them, in verse 12, we can see that he reminds them of these things. And let's think about this a moment. In our own lives, we can look at this in a lot of ways, that we can see that it's used for reproof, but we can also concrete in our mind what we need to discuss with someone who asks about a hope and in our faith. Is this is what Paul did, this is what they did, and this is what we did. Is that when we received the gospel in which Paul stood and all those other people stood in, that they were saved by it. And because Christ died for our sins and he was buried and he rose the third day according to the scriptures. And here's where it really gets interesting. There was all these witnesses. You ever noticed in the court today that if you have a witness, you pretty much got that deal sealed up, don't you? So important then too. There was witnesses seen of the 500, seen of Cephas, seen of many. So when you have witnesses in order here, according to the scriptures, even it makes it that much more powerful. And Paul knew that. That's why he was going over it again with them to let them know. Paul corrects the error that the Corinthians had about the resurrection of Christ. And when you read about this throughout this chapter, it's going to get down on into about verse 34. But we're going to read 13 through 32 right now. And we're going to see kind of what goes on. And the danger of believing that way of that the dead can't be raised up. And he knew it, and he just went ahead and talked to them in length here. Starting in verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. You know, with a vain means of no effect. We're done for nothing. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? So he's asking these questions, and he's cutting to the heart here. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You're yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. You know, Paul is answering these questions, and are these things rumors or whatever stirrings that was going on or non-beliefs in this chapter. He's saying if this is the case, when everything is just vain and we're still in our sins, might as well just eat and drink and have a big party because we're going to die and we're dead. But he answers to these people that that's not the way it is. And what he starts doing now is starting to get into the warnings for the Corinthians here. In verse 33, if you'll read that, here's a warning. It says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil communications corrupt good manners. In translation from the Strong's is that worthless companionship destroys useful habits and moral ways. If we're hanging around those that who are turning our beliefs and our thoughts and bending our minds and deceiving, then we have not made a good relationship with those companions. They have led our minds away. These people's minds were led away. And when their morals and their ways start changing, things start going in their head, and before you know it, they're deceived. How much do we see that today? We see a lot of people deceived today. You know, when you think about getting good information and things that will work and things that are true, there's a world of, and I'm not talking about on a subject right now of this, I'm talking about just in any physical sense. You can go to, we were talking about this earlier, you can go to YouTube and you can get some good, useful information. I just got into a deal with my Polaris Ranger, and I fought that thing to get it started, and I was pulling my hair out. I had it halfway tore apart and finally figured out on a YouTube video that a little sensor was loose on the back frame. I went and snapped it back on and it started. It was a mess, but it got to working. Good, useful information. But I looked at some of the YouTubes about that, and it wasn't all right. I mean, there was some that was just not good information. I looked at YouTube information on doing fractions for my granddaughter while we were visiting with granddaughter. Some good information, and some of it was a little harder to do, but there was some good, accurate information. I want to tell you, when you have a thought about Christ and about baptism and about your life and about a lot of doctrinal issues, if you'll go to the Bible and pick it up and read it, you're going to get all genuine truths in detail. You will. It's there. You know, if we want to know what we need to do to make application in our lives, if we have sin going on in our lives and we need forgiveness, we can read about all those examples and the things that they did, and we can learn that we can still do that today. We can see where we have that opportunity and a blessing in our lives today. Good information. If we'll just go to it and read it, it's simple. We pick it up and get into the scriptures and read it. And Paul said, you guys, I was saved this way. You were saved that way. Here's the gospel. I didn't say just a prayer to be saved. This is what I did. I was buried in Christ in that death. And so we can see that pattern. You know, why do we take the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, not quarterly. We go to the Bible and find out. How come we don't have a piano up here? I think we can find out in the Bible. Why don't we believe a lot of things? Why don't we have a service where it's just mass confusion? The Bible tells us not to. And so those words in the Bible are important to us about the doctrine to get into. And Paul was a warrior. He was an, Jimmy, you said an ambassador earlier we were talking about. He's an ambassador to contend for the truth that you keep on doing what they did in this early church. And so when we find out scriptures where someone was doing something different, Paul was there. He was correcting it right like that. And let's take care of it. And he's saying evil communications corrupt good manners. So it is so important in our lives that we don't get mixed up in any of that. All right, Paul rebukes the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15 and 34. Just a continuation of the scriptures that we have just read. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I'll speak this to your shame. It's important for us in whatever daily life that we are in that we know about what the scriptures say in that knowledge. And we go to it and we read about it. Strong's Concordance, Esword, commentaries, studying. You can get into it and find out the answers. And so we find out here that he's saying that it's a shame if we don't have that knowledge in our head. And if we don't, then we need to take care of it. And we can take care of it. We just must get into it and read it. How do we make sure that we are in the faith? You know, when I was looking at this, this is really, we're going into 2 Corinthians now, 13 and 5, but we can really look at this. This scripture means to me so much more now than it has in the past after I've looked at what Paul was talking to them about the gospel and about the faith, past tense. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates, rejected or not approved. So for us to know that we're not rejected and not approved. If we are approved, we go to the scriptures and we read and find out about these things that we examine ourselves to see if we are in the faith. You know, again, when you think about what John was talking about so well today and about going to heaven, when we look at those things and keep in perspective and focus and we examine what's going on in my life, what have I done that's according to these scriptures. So if we have followed these scriptures and we have examined ourselves to see if we're in Christ, you bet you are, and you're forgiven, and you will be raised up one day. You won't be just dead. God will raise you up. So how do you know that let's do a physical example. If I was to examine, if I was a doctor, which I'm not, but if I was, we're going to play like, if I was a doctor and someone come in and said, I really have a problem here. I've got a neck problem. And well, what happened? Well, I've had a surgery, but I'm still having problems. He said, let's examine it. Let's see what the doctor did before you come in here, back whenever you had this surgery. And so if you come into an office and you're starting to get examined, they can do a lot of things. They could x-ray, they could MRI. They could actually go in and reopen you up and look inside there and open the hood and see what's inside there, couldn't they? They could examine at doctors or staff and see what's going on. And they say, yes, Mr. Doty, I can see you've been opened up there. And we went in and man, you've got a screw loose in there, not just in your head, but also in that strap that's in your neck. Well, it's supposed to be two titanium screws in that strap. Aren't they okay? Well, yeah, but one's backed out. It ain't right. Let me ask you a question. In your Christian life, when it comes to salvation, and you get into the scriptures, and you find out in those scriptures what we've been talking about today, and you look at what Paul talked about to the Corinthians, how that I was saved this way, you were saved this way, and this is what we did. We were baptized in Christ. This is the gospel. And so if we made that same pattern, we're going to be approved, aren't we? We're not going to be a reprobate. You know, Paul gets in and talks about in these chapters to these people and says, you know the truth. You know that you're not a reprobate. If you get in and examine those scriptures and you find out, you know what? I wasn't saved that way. I'm examining myself right now, and that's not what I did. I got off in a little corner in a dark room somewhere and prayed, and that's all I've done. This is not the pattern that Paul is talking about the gospel. It is not. So therefore, if we examine ourselves and we see a problem there, we need to make sure that we get right with Christ, that Christ is in us and that we are in Him. We can find out from the scriptures that we can examine ourselves and we can see if we did what the Bible teaches us what we need to do when it comes to salvation. And I'd hope and pray that you do. If it ain't right, take that upon yourselves to make it right. After we learn that we are in the faith, how do we stand fast forever? 2 Timothy 4, 2 and through 5 says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering or patience and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away from the ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. It's going to be some things and efforts in our part that we stay in the way that we believe. You know, we was talking a moment ago about having an evil companionship. You know, you can get into some folks here, they're just turning it into fables, fairy tales. And people believe them. But he says, but watch in all things, endure afflictions. We continue on in what we believe. The faith in which we must stand, it never fails. You know, when you think about a lot of things put on this earth by man, it fails, doesn't it? We find out we can get in the scriptures, these things never fail. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when we received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So we see in these scriptures, it's not the word of men. You know, I know that's good influence for mom and dad, grandpa, uncles, aunts, to give us battleboys and to scriptures, and that's influence, and that's good influence as Christians. And a new Christian, or even yet one that has become a Christian yet, go to the book and read. Don't take my word. Get into the book and read it for yourself, and you can find out the answers. And once you get into it and read it for yourself, you can see that it's not the word of men, but it's the word of God. It's God talking, and it's God sent. Some of the greatest things that we can read in this earth. Earnestly contend for the faith. We see here, the writer says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Again, continue on. Why we must contend for the truth? Simple. Men will teach and error Christ doctrine. Happens all the time. Happens on radios, the TVs, on the street, the computer. Go tap a YouTube on how do you do something on a religious matter and see how many answers you get. We must be able to contend for Christ's doctrine in truth. 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So we see here that some will depart. You know, I believe these scriptures in today's time, that when you go through a city and you can count hundreds of different churches, that it doesn't have Church of Christ on the front of it. There's going to be lots of different names of a lot of different churches. I don't know how many there is. I've heard upper thousands of different beliefs and denominations. So we can see that there has been a falling away of truths in many ways, because there's a lot of things that are spoke that are not truths. They don't pay attention to doctrine. Why we must protect the faith. Matthew 15:9 says, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And a note here, something to really notice about when you read the Bible, it's significant that the word doctrine is never used in a plural number. When it refers to the doctrine of Christ, it's always a singular number. We may read of doctrines of men, as we read here. And a moment ago, we read doctrines of devils, but never the doctrines of Christ or the faith or the New Testament. The gospel, the doctrine, is singular. And that's because it's one. Interesting fact, isn't that? Watch, be firm in the faith, be strong, and do it with love. Continuation of the scripture we read earlier. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, or be brave, be strong, let all things be done with charity. You know, when we think about being strong, we can be strong and we can not back down in what we believe from the scriptures, according to the scriptures, but we can do it with love. And you know, when we do it, if we would grab the Bible and beat somebody down with it, yeah, we got all the truth, but there's not a lot of love in that. And I don't know that they would change their heart about anything if we was to go that route. So when we do it and we speak to someone, and it may take some of that long suffering that it talked about a moment ago and some patience and then studying, we can find out in the scriptures that we can influence someone. And I believe influence a lot of times before even the gospel comes is that his physical needs help to get trust, to show love, to show care. Everything that we know as a Christian that we're to do. Now, if someone come to me, Jimmy, if you come to me to speak the gospel, I'd be much more apt to sit down with a man that I trust at a table and go through a study. If someone comes in with me and is prideful and arrogant in what they are saying and beat me over the head with a Bible, it's not going to get very far. And I don't think that we have that attitude, but I think we need to do two things, is to know what the scriptures are in our Christian life. Why do we have the Lord's table on the first day of the week and not quarterly? Why is there not a piano there in our singing? Why are we believing in these things? Why do we believe that baptism is essential in our salvation? If we can't answer those, then I think we must. I think we must be able to answer those. So if someone asks a reason of our hope, and we have that opportunity to give some little tidbits in with them, and then finally we can sit down with them and study and show love, I think that's the route for us to go. And I'm going to talk to Sean too. I don't know that YouTube ain't a bad idea. And there may be things on YouTube about matters in church. But if you can fix a Polaris Ranger with a YouTube video and do fractions, I think a little short piece of gospel salvation would not be a bad idea. You might get a hit that you could possibly go on and talk to someone. I don't know. That may not be an advantage as Christian or evangelism. I'm not sure. And it may be. Just throwing it out there. The community is there. Someone who is in the community is wanting to study. I guess some of the studies that I've been involved with through the years that we've been married, Bonnie and I, for 5 years. My memory remembers right, Jimmy. Years ago, Mike McCorkle come to Bridgeport, and we sit down on a study, and it was some friends of ours that we knew, and we went through a gospel sermon. It was a 5-part, went through that, and at the end, Mike's style at that time of that ending that study was to throw a big 20-penny nail on the table and said, that's what they drove in Christ's hand, something similar to that. And it was effective, and it gets you to your heart. And that couple accepted Jesus in baptism, and today that I know of, they're still not in church. But there was others that we studied with that study took effect, and they are in church. Those are the hits and misses. Sean and Jimmy can say that all day long, that you're going to have when we teach the gospel. But if we find out that there's people in the community that we can have studies with, we should do it. There should be some studies going on there in that way. But I think one thing in this lesson that we can learn is when we contend, is contending is is going to bat for Christ, going to bat for the Bible, going to bat for the truth in what we believe in.